biblical stuff, and some sit there and say, well, you ought to just let the Holy Spirit work. And let me tell you this, he did. All right, so leave me alone. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6, which says, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful that you are with us no matter what happens on this earth. We know that, Father, for you it is just a day. For us it is a brand new mark on a calendar. It's a brand new calendar. And Father, it means something to us to want to be living right in your eyes. And I pray this, Father, that we see 2023, this day right here, Lord, as an opportunity of change, an opportunity for growth, that, Lord, we may have what is seen in these scriptures as an obedience to scripture and thereby finding prosperity in our lives, finding success in our lives, Lord, that we may take that and we may bring that honor and glory and lay it at your feet. Because, Father, we know we couldn't do a thing without you. Lord, sharpen our minds, wake up our hearts, that we may hear your word today. For it's the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Joshua is addressing his people, and I've always loved this passage of scripture, especially at the start of a brand new year, because for them this was a new beginning. Moses had passed away. They were now entering into the promised land. And Joshua is standing before these people knowing that war is on the horizon. Knowing that struggling for food is on the horizon. Loss is on the horizon. Great success is on the horizon. And he's summing it up. And I tell you what, I've heard a lot of great speeches from a lot of great leaders, but I'll tell you what, none of them stack up to what Joshua had to say to his people. The things that we see in Scripture far surpass anything the great speakers of our time could come up with. I've got a book, I believe it's in the office, but it says the Great Speeches or something like that. And it's got Winston Churchill, it's got presidents, it's got kings and great influencers. And I love reading those. But there's just something about hearing the Lord Jesus Christ talk to his people that seems a cut above. And now, even now, as we look at Joshua, I love Joshua compared more to anything else we could preach or we could speak on today as he leads these people. He does not tell them lies. He does not promote himself. He does not puff himself up. He doesn't stroke their egos. He tells them the exact things that they need. And folks, I'll tell you this, as we sit here this morning looking at a brand new year, these are the things we need. Because in the next 365 calendar days, there will be trials. There will be temptations. There will be struggles. There will be success. There will be friends made. There will be wonderful things. There will be laughter. There will be joy. There will be experiences you weren't even expecting. We don't know what's coming in the next 365 days, but we know that anything could happen. And we got to do the best we can with whatever is going to happen, right? We need to do the best we can by the Lord. And we may ask ourselves, how? We've got those New Year's resolutioners, and I'm not picking on them. I think that any day is a good day to look at your life and fix what's wrong, right? I firmly believe that if you're out of sorts with the Lord, you're out of sorts with your habits, any day is a good day, so why not the first day of the year? I don't care. But they got those New Year's resolutions. Hey, this year I'm going to lose some weight. This year I'm going to get in my Bible. Everybody's printing off brand new Bible reading schedules, and everybody's all excited, and we got our colored pens and our markers, and oh, we're going to
have a good time studying the Bible. We're going to start budgeting better. We're going to start attending church a little bit better. We got all these dreams and all these plans. But yet we know that there's a possibility we could fail. And so often we treat New Year's resolutions like New Year's revolutions. We go to war on stuff, don't we? Oh, I'm going to go to war on all the sugar in my cabinet. I'm going to go to war on this heavy breathing I'm doing. I'm going to exercise a little bit more. I'm going to go to war on my laziness when it comes down to serving the Lord. I'm going to work on this fear that I've got of sharing the gospel. I'm going to be the best that I can be in 2023. Write that down. That's good. Best I can be. 2023. Somewhere out there, there's a mega church using that. Somewhere out there. But now we think more about these revolutions. I'm going to go to war with everything. New year, new me. Saw that on a coffee cup. I always often wonder about coffee cups you can only use for about 1 month out of the year. Of course, the way I treat them, they only last about a month anyway. But now, new year, new me. You know what the problem is? We're not any different. Right? On December 31st, 11:59 p.m., I was the same saved sinner that I am right now in this moment. I am going to struggle today like I did yesterday, and me marking it as a start day on the calendar won't do anything. Now, I'm not saying that to discourage you. I'm saying that to encourage you. Joshua was not saying these things to make them feel sad. He wasn't saying, be strong and of good courage, because he thought that they were scared little wimps. It was because what is coming requires for you to be strong and to be courageous. It is not about just having a New Year's resolution or any resolution at all, but it is putting resolution into the decisions that you make. If you give something to the Lord, give it to Him. Lord, I'm going to give up this sin. Lord, I'm going to start serving You. If you give it to Him wholeheartedly, give it to Him. Be strong. And we've got to look at those decisions, and we've got to make those decisions, not just once a year, not just once in our lifetime. I've known people that said, well, I gave my life to the Lord, and I've had to sit there and discuss with them, have you ever tried to sneak it back by adding some sin to it, by disobeying Him in some things, by making ill-advised decisions that pulled you away from Him? Did you ever try to sneak it back? You need to give your life to the Lord every day. You need to give your life to the Lord in every decision. Lord, what would You have me to do? Some are no-brainers. Where should I be? Well, if we're having church, I should be there. Unless otherwise hindranced, I should be there. What does the Lord want me to do? Does the Lord want me to give this guy the gospel? The answer is always yes. No-brainers. Should I lie to get out of this trouble? No. Should I take this? Is it yours? No. All right, we understand. They're no-brainers. We need to give everything to the Lord. Give every decision to Him. What am I going to do? Lord, what would You have me do? All right, I see here what would make the most sense. Now, it gets a little foggy on what you're going to have for breakfast and where you're going to go on vacation, but we can apply good biblical principles in everything that we do. Don't ask me about the menu at Applebee's. I don't know how to help you through that one. But we do know there are things that we should and should not do, and we need to give those to the Lord. Join me again in verse 6, and we see the beginning of this sermon here as He gives it. Well, it's not the beginning, but be strong. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Let me tell you what I know for a fact is coming in 2023. God will keep His promises. God will maintain His expectations. As He set to do before, He will continue to do. We don't need to worry about Him. He's made certain promises. We see certain promises in Scripture that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Guess what? It doesn't matter who's in the White House. It doesn't matter who's over there leading large countries going to war. It doesn't matter. God is still God. He will never leave you nor forsake you. In the great successes, He will be there. In the mediocre Tuesdays, He will be there. in the hurt and the suffering, He will be there. No matter what the next calendar year has to throw at you, God will not leave you. Oh, but what if I sin? What if I fall away? Well, let me tell you a story about a prophet who had a job, and he found himself at the bottom of the sea, the seaweeds encompassing about his head, feeling strangled and choked and panicked, begging to God for forgiveness, who would then go on and lead a whole city to come to know the Lord and respect Him. Oh, it's a sad story at the end, but I'll tell you what, God used him for great things. Let me tell you about so many of His people who the Lord has forgiven time and time again because they are His children and He loves them. My advice to you is to not fall off into sin, but if you do, don't give up on the Lord, because He most assuredly has not given up on you. Because that's not how love works. We also understand that His word will not return void. I'm telling you right now, there will be people saved in 2023, if not having been saved already. Because God does not make promises. God does not send out His word. He did not give us the gospel for it to suddenly become ineffective because of our society. Can I tell you what? We're panicked about what we see in the world today. I don't enjoy it. I don't like it. It gets me angry. Stirs up my frustrations. But if any one of us could hop in a time machine and go back to the time where Jesus was preaching and look around at those people, I think we'd really be nervous. We'd really be nervous. God has not lost His salvation power. God has not lost His ability. The elect have not been fully found yet. Why? How do you know, brother? Because we're still here. Do you leave the workmen in the field after the work is done? No, that's how they get into mischief. That's how their trouble happens. Why would He leave the workmen in the field if the harvest is already gathered? He's going to bring us home when it's done. He might give it a day. He might give us a week. I don't know. Is 1 week of everybody who would ever be saved are being saved, and we're here, and I don't know, but I do know this: souls will be saved. Can I ask you a question? Will you be the one to give them the gospel? If you're here today and you're lost, will it be you? Will it be you that comes to the Lord, repents of their sins, trusts that Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sin was sufficient for your punishment? Ask God to forgive you. We know that His mercies will be new every day. His mercies will be new every day. You know, when we suffer and we struggle and we deserve punishment, or when hurt happens, you know, we kind of have it coming. You know, God told Adam and Eve in the garden, you eat of this fruit, death will enter in. And we've been fighting with death ever since. We take pills to prolong our lives. We have doctors and all manner of great activity that we've got there in the medical field to keep people alive and keep people going. We fight death on a regular basis. Why? Because it is natural for these sin-sick bodies to get sick and fall apart, break. This is carnal. This is something that doesn't last forever. And because of our sin nature, because we brought this in, we kind of have it coming. So when the Lord delivers us, that is mercy. When we survive, when we shouldn't, when we get healthy again, we receive mercy. When things happen that preserve us or help us or protect us, even when it comes down to us being able to sit there and say, wow, if I was just a few minutes late, I never would have I found $10 on the ground today. If I was just a few seconds late, I never would have got it. Hey, isn't that awesome? I was reading Brother Frank's update. He was talking about that brother that was prevented from traveling. And as he was trying to go, he wasn't able to go, and it really frustrated him. He goes, oh, I thought it was this hour, but it turned out to be that hour. Found out that there was tribal warfare going on in that area, and if he was in there, he'd have got mixed up in it. Isn't God merciful? And just as He's merciful there, He is merciful to us and will be in the future. God's mercies are new. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Be strong and very courageous, so that you can observe to do. So that I can keep the things that God has told me to do. Because I'll tell you this, in 2023, it'll be just as hard to serve Him properly, just as hard to obey Him fully, as it was in 2022. Those temptations have not gotten any weaker. And praise the Lord, they've not gotten any stronger. Right? That promise to get us out, that He'll provide a way out of our temptation, that is still in effect. We still have the Word of God. For as long as I've got breath in my lungs, I'll still be preaching it. And long after I lose that breath, Home Baptist Church will find someone else to continue the sermons. Right? The Word of God will continue to be preached. The Word of God can be read. We can sit there and we can observe and obey and do the things that He says. But it's going to take strength to obey the Lord. Because everything in your body says don't. Everything in your body says I'm too shy, I'm too nervous, I'm too scared. You got to be courageous. Because in order to serve the Lord properly, you got to do things that might scare you. You got to have conversations that make you uncomfortable. You got to repent of things you hope that nobody would ever find out you did. You got to give up things you like to have so much, but they're dragging you down. It takes courage. It takes strength. And if we have that, if we say to the Lord and we put everything we have into fighting sin, sin will leave our lives. We'll be able to knock those habits out. Now, you won't lose your sin nature. I wish you could work hard enough to lose your sin nature. I wish I could sit there and say, if you do this for X amount of time, you'll wake up one morning and your sin nature will be completely nullified. No, you got to crucify that guy every day. Got to crucify him every day. Every day you wake up and you say, all right, listen, that nonsense that we gave up 3 weeks ago, we're not doing it today. As I have those conversations with my parents, I have them with my kids. We're sitting out in the car. Listen. When we get in there, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that. All right, and sometimes, hey, if you do this, there'll be a reward. If you do this, there'll be a punishment. You have the whole, like, that football room, that football locker room conversation with them. All right, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to do good today, and we're going to behave today, and we're going to have a good time today. And I'm in there all, you know, red in the face. We're going to have a good time. You need to have that pep talk with yourself. As you're sitting there and you're talking to the Lord, you need to make sure that you're fully aware and you're fully committed to the conversation you're having with the Lord. Lord, today, like you, I haven't done this in 3 weeks today, Lord, and I want to make sure today gets added to that number, and I'm giving that to you, and that belongs to you. You start praying like that, you're going to have a lot more success in getting that sin out of your life. Lord, I'm not doing it today, and I'm going to give that to you. And Lord, where I fail in my strength, I pray that you give me strength. And where I fail in my courage, my heart gets weak. And all of a sudden, I start getting sympathetic to that sin. I start getting desirous of that sin again. Lord, I want you to give me more courage. To stand up, to strengthen my heart. To go to war against this. To fight against that. Hey, Father, you know, yesterday I gave the gospel. Today I want to give it twice. Yesterday I was able to read for just a chapter, Lord, and what a wonderful chapter it was. I pray that today, as I read, and I will read, that, Lord, you expound more upon me. Maybe let me, maybe give me the ability and the attention span to read a little bit more. Some of us, we struggle with that short attention span. That's okay. You make the full of what you got. It'll grow. It'll grow. But you make the best of what you got. Read it. Read it to where you're getting stuff out of it. Apply those things to your life. Put effort into it so that we can obey. And as this verse says, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Funny thing, that word prosper. So many times they preach that word prosper as, well, you'll have money in your pocket if you... You know, if you tithe the way that you should, God will give it back to you 3 times, 4 times, 5 times. Listen, God's going to bless you for obedience. But if you firmly believe that God is some kind of gambling machine, you are mistaken. Right? We tithe out of a heart that is worth, that is desirous to please the Lord, not to get anything out of it. God never promised us an investment opportunity in His church, but He will bless you. I have found that when I gave extra, the Lord somehow made a way to bless me in another way. Now again, that should never be our purpose. And that should never be a slot machine handle we pull down. All right, well, I got a problem, and in order to fix it, I'll give a little extra do-re-mi. No, that's not how that works. God loves a cheerful giver. One that gives because, thank you, Lord. Right? Think about this for your children. Do you want your kids to hug you because you'll be good to them if they hug you? Or do you want them to hug you because you love them? You're going to be good to him anyway. God's going to be good to you because you're his child. Now, should you obey him? Absolutely. Should you give? Absolutely. Should you give to your best? Absolutely. Should you give a little bit more when you can? You definitely should. But that's not all what the word prosper means there. It means to have success. It means to have success. Those battles you've been fighting for years in your life, I want to read. I want to read faithfully. I want to have a better prayer life. I want to have a better Christian walk. I want to have peace. I want to be able to think clearly. These battles that we have, we'll have more prosperity when we are strong and very courageous enough to obey the Lord. Because I'll say this, a good number of your problems we bring upon ourselves. Am I right? A lot of the things we've got, we're struggling with, right? That it was not, and we say this, right? Oh, well, I got busy today. Did you really get too busy for the Lord? Did you really? There wasn't a spare 5 minutes. Were you that busy? You woke up at 11:30 in the morning and you messed around on the internet for 45 minutes. You slowly made your breakfast. You did whatever it is you had to do that day, and finally, at 11:45, when you're about to clonk out and go to bed, you realize, oh, I was so busy today. I didn't have time for the Lord. Wake up early for the Lord. Now, some of you might already wake up early. Give that time to the Lord. My days are far better spent and far more successful when I spend them doing the right things. When I take the time to read, when I take the time to study. Danielle would attest to this. There'd be some mornings when I would plan to leave at a certain time, and I'd have to leave hours earlier just because of some catastrophe going on, some water main break. I think one particular time we had the gray water line from a toilet stack crack right at the top floor and just share its love all the way down. All right, got to get there early. So what do? Well, you get one of those apps on your phone, or you get one of those tapes that read the Bible to you. And you get that going while you're on the way to work, because you're going to need that word. You're going to need that time with God. You're going to need it. I have found that when I have clocked in with a heart that has already been in touch with the Lord, with a mind that has already made its promises to my Father, I do far better. Number one, I'm out of my own way. Number two, my brain is in proper condition. My heart is in proper condition. And I've already got the thought process going of pleasing the Lord, of obeying Him in what I am doing. If you want to get better at your Bible reading, you need to be strong and courageous. You want to get better at your soul winning, at your giving of the gospel, you need to be strong and courageous. You want to get better at any of the things, you need to dictate to yourself that you're going to do the things. I'm going to obey the Lord. In this trouble, in this trial, in this great success, I will honor Him. Now verse 8 gives us a little bit of clarity. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. There's that phrase, success, prosperous. What must we do? We must turn to the Word of God. Now, we talked about obeying the Word of God, and we talked about part of obeying the Word of God is to be reading the Word of God. But my friends, if you do not have a good working relationship with Scripture, this is the time. This is the time. There's no time like the present. You need to have a great relationship. I knew a lady one time, she was telling me, I asked her, I go, how much Bible do you read? Because she could quote Scripture just like that. And she would sit there and I would watch when I would preach. I would sit there and I would say what verse we were going to go to. And it doesn't matter what verse I would go to. She'd, oh yeah, I got it. And she'd turn there. She'd beat everybody there. Had three strokes, arthritis all up in her hands. Would still beat all of us to that passage of Scripture. I would sit behind her when the pastor would preach. And so very often I would see that same little, oh, I know where we're going. I know what we're doing. I love that. You ever, I want you to think of your favorite book. You can't say the Bible because this is an illustration towards the Bible, right? So pick any book other than the Bible that you know very, very well. You know very, very well. How many times did you read it before you got to the point where you could anticipate what's coming up and you're able to dig deeper into it? I love books like that that you can read twice. I got a lot of books I can barely get halfway through. I got many more books I got through once, and I was happy with being done with it once. But there are some books I hang on to, and I read them again. Maybe every year, maybe every couple years, I'll read them again. These are good books. I've got those books against this on my shelf there. I like to read them again and again. They're good. And there gets to a point where you get a familiarity with it, right? It's almost like your own backyard. You know where the holes are. You know where the trouble is. You know what you got to work on. The Word of God can become just as familiar to us. And my friends, that needs to be our goal. A wholehearted familiarity. There was a preacher one time, he said this. He goes, once you've gone through it 25, 26 times, you really start to, like the more obscure parts, we say obscure, but if you're reading your Bible right, nothing's obscure. But the more harder, the less preached on things become light to you. They become obvious to you. They become familiar to you. And we dive into there, and it's like coming back up against an old backdrop of scenery, taking a hike through a very familiar path. We ought to desire familiarity with the Scripture. What is it that it says here for us to do? Don't stop talking about it. You know, if I give you advice based on my understanding, there's a margin of error there. Margin of error. But there's no margin of error with Scripture. So my advice, if I must give it, must be scriptural. Right? If I'm just sitting there, and so often we ask advice on things, we hold half the story back, and we don't always tell the full truth or our full responsibility to what happened. You know, it can be dangerous giving advice. That must be why everything we say must be concerning the Word of God. Do not let it depart from your lips. It must be a familiar passenger. It must be something your mouth knows so well, your mind is so easy to repeat those words. This is what God has to say. Because me, I'm fallible. I can be hoodwinked. I can be wrong. I can be mistaken. I can remember things wrong. The Word of God never fails. The Word of God pierces into the heart as the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You can't put one past God. You can't put one past His Word. You meditate on that Word, like the Bible says. Now, what do we mean by meditate? Do we mean I go sit out in the garden somewhere and go, oh, no. Like a cow, right? As it works that grass through its stomach and it chews on its cud, it goes, oh, spits it back up, chews on it some more, hum, nom, nom. passes back through its digestive system. That's us with the Word of God. I read it, and I think about it, and I ponder. And sometimes that Word of God, that passage that we have read, entices us, and we chase it. I've chased a lot of rabbits down in that office in the last 2 years. All right, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And I sit there, and 2 hours will pass, and I've got all the books out. You know, I'm pulling through everything, and I'm reading through, and I'm studying, and I'm defining every word, and I'm looking at other things, and I'm looking up other sermons on it, you know, either from our website or from preachers that I know and trust. You know, what do they have to say on this? Let's really get into this. And all of it, what is it? Just hashing and rehashing what the Bible has to say. Oh, and it's a beautiful life. It's a beautiful way to entertain yourself. It's a beautiful thing to apply yourself to. But notice how, I mean, in all of this, Joshua's not sitting there telling them how great a leader he is going to be. Joshua's not sitting there telling them how wonderful he thinks they are. What is his advice? Obedience to the Word of God. Following and reading the Word of God. Acknowledging and respecting the Word of God. My friends, if we were to do anything of merit in 2023... we must first get so deep into the book. We need to meditate on it. And we see here also that it's not just the matter of meditation. It's not just getting the knowledge. It's not just getting the understanding. That would be enough. That is wonderful. But in this passage we see that thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. You're not going to get victory in your life without the Word of God. Unless you take the Bible and what it says and properly, thoroughly apply it to your decision making, you will not have great success. Oh, you might have some success. A lot of people out there, they make money. A lot of people out there, they get people to like them. A lot of people out there on a worldly scale do well. But you won't. And the things you build won't be of any merit or value without the Word. What's the value of a $1 billion house? Do they have $1 billion houses? I don't think I've ever seen one. Let's say you've got yourself a great big mansion down here on earth. One day they're going to carry you out of that great big mansion. And what good will it do you? We got billionaires. I was reading that. One of these billionaires, they lost $200 billion. Lost $200 billion. I lost $5 and it wrecked me. Oh, no. Like, man, what do you do after you lose $200 billion? Well, if you're sitting on another hundred and some odd billion dollars, I guess it's no big deal. But no, one day, that money's going to be in probate. One day, those houses will be sold. One day, people are going to be picking through their stuff. Those things, they come and go. Moth and rust, what do they do? They corrupt. And they corrupt all things. There have been people of great riches down through history whose names we have forgotten. Real success, good success, real prosperity comes spiritually. Spiritually. Now I tell you what, it's not a one or the other. God can bless your finances. God can bless your house. God can bless your stuff. He could do all that, all those things. But the most valuable thing you need to look for is what comes from proper application of Scripture to your life. That's the valuable. That's the important. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. We are told again to be strong and to be of good courage. Why? Why? You ever notice this? Sometimes the Bible repeats itself. And I've long come to the conclusion that the Bible repeats itself because it is very important. So whenever you see repetition of a phrase, pay attention to it. Pay attention to it. Sometimes we explain that to people. We're not entirely sure we can trust with something. All right, don't push that button. You see this? Look at it. Don't push it. All right, I'm going to tell you again. Don't push it. Now tell me, what button do you not push? Good. We do not push this button. Why? Because we know so many people who like to push buttons, don't we? I was that kid. Don't push this. Man, I better leave the room with you. The moment you told me not to push something, I was going to push it. Right? When we see repetition, it is important for us to pay attention. Not that there's a single thing in Scripture you should be falling asleep on. We should always pay attention. But we need to extra stop when we see the repetition of it, right? We need to pay very close attention. We need courage. We need strength. Because it is going to be difficult. Because it is going to be hard. We will always find excuses. Our flesh will always rebel against it. We need to be strong. We need to be courageous. There will be a world that is angry at the things that we are doing. We were talking a little bit on Friday. I was trying to figure out who I was talking to about it. But it was either Brother Schultz or Brother Cummins. Brother Cummins. We were talking about dress code, and Sister Mary, she brought me a little pamphlet on dress code this morning. So maybe that's the Lord telling me I need to start preaching on dress. But we were talking about this, you know, the world gets all hot and bothered about a woman that wears a dress. What are you wearing that for? What's wrong with you? Why would you do that? Danielle faced that when she was in high school, and people came to me, why does she do that? Why does she dress that way? It's kind of like, why do you care? Why do you care? Right? Just because she's wearing a dress don't mean anybody else got to wear it. Nobody else in the school has to wear it. When she's not sitting there deciding the dress code for the school, what's bothering you? Right? We sat there, we had a get together at work one day, and everybody showed up wearing shorts. I was wearing pants. What are you wearing pants for? Why does your religion say you got to wear pants? What's the big deal about you wearing pants? What do you care? I didn't bring a pair for you. I'm not sitting there saying everybody ought to. I'm over here eating a hot dog. Leave me alone. It's going to bother the world. Right? Even down to something like that. It's going to bother the world. Why? Because something tickles that flesh in just the wrong way. Right? Something pets that cat the wrong way and they get angry. Right? We used to have a cat growing up. Her name was Sassy, and she was. You turn on that water and... if you were in the bathroom, you go to wash your hands, that cat would be at the door ready to scratch you up. I never could figure out that cat was evil, right? When that cat died, I hope the devil that lived inside of it went on. But no, we just get angry about things, get frustrated. Somebody irritated that cat inside of him. They don't like the light. They don't like godly things. When I was a teenager in high school, I didn't understand. Why does that bother you? Why? Of all the things, the way I dress, why does it bother you? And I grew up and I understood. That stuff bothers you because it reminds you of a God you don't want to hear anything about. Why is it that we can sit there and we can talk about fictional superheroes, things you don't believe in, and you're more than happy, but I talk about a God you don't believe in, and it bothers you? I know why. Your sin nature is getting bothered. And those people, they're going to get upset, and bless their hearts, and we pray for them to be saved. I mean, no ill will towards them, because as such were us. Am I right? As Paul said, as such were some of you, and that's us. Where we were and we could be the exact same way. So we have mercy and compassion. We pray for them and we love them and we give them the gospel and pray one day the Lord straightens them out. But we do need to understand that there's going to be that crankiness we got to deal with. There is that rejection of the Lord we got to deal with. There is that the world doing things that irritates us and so angers God. You know, there are Baptist churches, good Baptist churches in California that shake and run from fire and have to deal with all the things that God is doing in that state. Now, I'm not one to sit there and say that every natural disaster God is doing, but I firmly believe that there's some stuff happening in California that God is doing. And there's just some fires that didn't make no sense. There was some issues that don't make no sense. Now, there's a lot of stuff they're doing to themselves with these droughts and with the water runoff. But I'll tell you this, there's a lot of people out there suffering just the same for what the sinners are doing. And we're going to have to, there's some stuff that people do. It irritates us. It scares us. It bothers us. This abortion thing drives me nuts. And I'll tell you this, what bothers me more now than it did then. And of course, I couldn't get more disgusted, but I am. You see, before it was just a Supreme Court loophole. Now it's a purposeful decision that people are voting for. And I think it's a slap in God's face one way or the other, but I think that we're slapping a little hard as each state makes their own decision. I think we're going to pay for that. I think we're going to suffer for that. We need to be strong. We need to be courageous. Because there will be rough things in the future. But the Bible says here, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because my God still sits on the throne. His provisions are just as sure. His protections over us. His blessings to us do not fade or wither based on what we face. He is strong at all times. The Bible also says, be not dismayed. And that's a very poignant thing to say to these Israelites as they're about to wander into the promised land, because there's going to be loss, because there's going to be battles to be faced. There's going to be walls that they got to stand in front of that seem impenetrable. But be not dismayed. God will bring the walls down. God will deliver. There were battles that they faced that they didn't even have to show up on the battlefield for. God was so good to them. And God will be good to you. God will take care of you. We see here in this promise, why should we not be afraid? Why can we avoid being dismayed? What is the possibility of avoiding fear and dismay in this coming year? For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. If you're standing at the bank, depositing a check that completely changes your life, He is with you. If you are standing at that same bank with bills you cannot pay, God is with you. While you're sitting there reading and rejoicing over birth announcements and your excitement as you hold a brand new baby, He will be with you just the same at the graveside. Whether you climb high or you climb low. I love that Psalm 139. If anybody here is around, if anybody's here around after I pass away, I want Psalm 139. If I go up to the heights, if I descend to hell, you're with me. I can go into the depths. The darkness does not hide me from you. No matter where I am. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. You know I am. Wherever I am, you'll be light around me. That's the promise we have of God. And that's what causes that psalmist to say, search me, try me. We need to have that knowledge that no matter what's going on in the middle of the night, be it excitement and joy, troubles and sorrows and pain, God is with you. Well, I sure wish He'd take me out of this bad situation. Sometimes that's not in the plan, and you need to understand that. You need to be glad that He's there to hold your hand. Because it is much better than doing it alone. You know, there's moments where we take our kids into the doctors, and they got to get those shots. Got to get the shot. Got to take your medicine. Sometimes you got to have a little bit of hurt. Sometimes it's just the natural order of things. But which would you rather? When I was a kid, my mom used to hold my hand for a while until I got to be too cool, too tough. Didn't bother me anymore. Go ahead, give me 5. I don't care. Tough. But when I was a kid, I loved to hold my mom's hand. Just know she was there. I tell you what, that's what the Lord does. He's there. He'll hold your hand. But what must we understand and completely devote ourselves to in order for us to feel the full effects of His presence in our life every day, in order for us to have the great successes, in order for us to have the victories in our lives? What must we first do? We know what we have to do. Obey Him. Marinate ourselves in His Word. Be strong. Be very courageous. And then we can sit there at the end going, Lord, what great things You did. What great things You did. And I'll share this with you. I always like to sit at the end of the year and try to put everything together. And I don't know about you, but my life felt like a hurricane in this last year. It really did. It's just, and then, of course, you know, some people have it worse. Some people have it way better. But I had plans. And they didn't all go the way I wanted them to. And some things happened that I could not have even predicted. You know, I was sitting there. We were living in Flushing. We were going to have another year. And it was right around this time where we started to get nervous about our lease. Lord, what am I going to do? We're sitting there. Okay, well, now we need to find a house in a market that's awful. Lord, what are we going to do? You know, we've got this thing and that thing. Hey, remember the Bible conference this year? That was something else. I'm going to be honest with you. That took a piece out of me getting all the preachers together and you know, all the excitement. And I know it took a piece out of you guys doing a lot of physical labor to get things going. Remember camp? I about lost my mind. As a matter of fact, at one particular point, I did lose my mind. I came back. July to August, man, I was beat. I was beat up. But I look back here at the end of the year and all the changes and all the differences and all the wonderful things. We had loss. We had a funeral that we did. Lost a very dear friend. Brand new baby was born. Some old friends came back. You know, what a wonderful thing. All of it is in the hands of the Lord. All of it is. And no matter what insanity, good and bad, mixed together is coming our way. Whatever it is can be handled with strength and courage that I find in reading and obeying the Word. It'll temper the bad things. It'll strengthen me. Throughout all those things, it'll keep my mind sober when things are just ecstatically wonderful. It'll keep me awake and conscious, and it'll keep my heart going when things are rough. But if I fail, I cannot expect what it is that's promised at the end of this verse. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I am grateful for the successes and the prosperity You bring into our lives. But we understand this, that we hinder that success, we hinder that prosperity when we get out of Your Word, when we lack strength, when we lack faith, when we do not have courage. Father, I pray that You renew those things in us every day. Lord, let us never see a day without a minute or two in Your Word. Lord, let us never see a moment where we have left You and stopped obeying You. Father, chasten us where we need it. Encourage us where we need it. But Lord, oh, please pour out the strength and the courage, because we so badly need it. For today, in Jesus, we pray. Amen.